Village Round Lake Community Hall, February 29th, 2016.
All right, we're going to call the meeting to the Committee of the Whole at 7:26 p.m. Again, I'd like to ask for a motion for the Mayor, President Pro Tem, to run the meeting.
So moved. Second.
Motion by Trustee Fry for what trustee to run the meeting?
Donald Newby.
Okay, thank you. Second by Trustee Ford?
Yes, for Donald Newby.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Trustee Foy.
Aye.
Trustee Fry.
Aye.
Trustee Crowley.
Aye.
Trustee Newby.
Upstate.
Trustee Rodriguez.
Aye.
Trustee Trudell.
Aye.
Okay. Roll call.
Trustee Foy.
Present.
Trustee Fry.
Present.
Trustee Crowley.
Present.
President Pro Tem Newby?
Aye. Present.
Trustee Rodriguez?
Present.
Trustee Trippin?
Present.
Sorry, it takes a while to get
there.
Okay.
Just say it one more time.
Preserved in audio.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Replay. Okay, moving to 2.1. Approval of the minutes for the Committee of the Whole meeting of February 16th, 2016. Motion by Trustee Foy, second by Trustee Trippa. Any additions or corrections or discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to the committee hall. Public comment, yeah. Any public comments tonight? Okay. Thank you for your public comments. Moving on to the committee of the whole. Not to the community development. Clerk's office.
Yep.
Human resource and finance. The copy of this agreement.
Mayor and Board of Trustees, we have asked can I be able to find paperwork with regards to entering into a unit for copiers and printers. Currently, we have a contract with Constantin Munster that's scheduled to expire next month. That contract includes leases on two printers as well as on two multifunctional copiers, as well as service, maintenance for supplies, and cost per copy on three other machines. Those three machines are, two of them are in public works, and one of them's in the police department. They're getting old. And what we're recommending, we have two options. One is option A, to not enter into a new contract, and just we'd have to purchase two newer copiers that we have in from now. For about $3,400, and then pay whatever cost may be incurred as far as maintenance on the existing three older copiers. The option A used 2015 to an estimate of service calls that we had in 2015, and we estimated the cost. So what is the cost next year, and if we don't have a lease? And that option is more expensive than option B, which is entering into a new lease, keeping two of the machines and getting two new machines and getting rid of three older machines. So we are recommending that we do enter into option B and get two new machines and get rid of the three older machines that will probably ultimately cost us more money than what we estimated them to because they're getting older. So our recommendation is to go with option B and enter into a new lease.
Continue. What's preference?
Then my question is that what you is that what it takes to do the job?
Also cost effectively, yes.
All right. Could it be better if you got a third machine?
No, actually we're gonna go from five machines currently down to four. The public works director indicated to me that doesn't need the two that he has. He did get away with one. So we would move the copier that's currently in the administrative office of Village Hall. We would move that down to Public Works and get a brand new one up there. Police would maintain their, they would keep their machine as well as getting a new one. Mm-hmm. So we would actually be using less machines.
And be more efficient?
Yes. Yep. Your machine would be more practical, more efficient, and more inexpensive.
As long as you're happy, that's all that counts.
So should we move it to option B?
Well,
to the forest?
Well,
option B.
Move it.
Okay. All right, then. We will put that on the regular board agenda. Public Works and Public Works Facilities and Capital Assets and Engineering. The Urban Forest Management Plan Update.
Mayor, Board of Trustees, included in your packet is an updated version of the Urban Forest Management Program. Going through the Urban Forest Program, I think there were two areas that needed to be updated. The plan was originally written back in 2013. And since that time, the village implemented a cost-sharing program that was targeted at replacing trees that were hit by the Emerald Ash Borer. You're all well aware of the effects as you go through the town and see all the dead trees. The Emerald Ash Borer has hit really hard. It's caused a lot of trees to die and quicker than anticipated. And so I wanted to update the plan just to show the progress of the cost sharing program and to try and get a recommendation from the board on how we want to kind of proceed with this. I'm recommending that we start putting more of an emphasis on cutting down dead trees, and kind of postpone spending some of our dollars to the replacement of the trees into the near future so that we can get the dead ones down immediately.
Right. Isn't part of this our program, maybe we'll talk about it under the next one, as far as removing the, getting the grants until the state passes their budget?
Yes.
Fall into the next one then?
In the next item, I'm going to So I wanted to make that and give you the update on how the cost sharing program has fared so far, and then offer some changes to the cost sharing program.
Yeah.
If you have the packet in front of you, page 5, the progress to date is the village has been able to replace 340 dead trees under the cost-sharing program, and over $50,000 has been contributed through residents or homeowners associations and businesses to help with that. So the program has had success. Unfortunately, because of the Emerald Ash Borer, even with the 340 dead trees that have been replaced, there were 1,700 that are dying parkway trees to begin with. So we're still looking at 1,200 dead parkway trees in the village. The cost sharing program originally consisted of 4 different tiers or categories, they were called. On page 3, I'm recommending that we pare that down to just 2 categories for the cost sharing program. The 2 categories that I'd like to eliminate was category where the resident paid 100% for the removal and replacement of the parkway tree. Since the inception of the program, there's only been one person who's taken that option, and so I don't feel that it's really necessary to offer its residents. If residents want to remove and replace the parkway tree, usually they come to us and just say, I'd like to remove and replace my parkway tree, and we don't need to go through this cost-sharing program. The other category that I'd like to eliminate was where the village funded 100% of the removal and replacement. The village, I'm assuming, is going to do that if nobody participates in the program anyway.
Right.
So I don't know that anybody's participating. There's no participation from the homeowner, so I don't think it needs to be included in the cost-sharing program.
And that's the recommendation of the staff and the liaison.
So I just wanted to give you an update on where we stand with that and making a few changes.
Thank you. okay with that?
Moving forward.
Okay, moving on along. Parkway tree removal. Adam.
So to go along with that, I'm recommending that we enter into a contract with Clawbell Tree Service to remove village-owned parkway trees that are dead or dying. We had money budgeted this fiscal year for a grant program with the IDNR. We applied for a grant. We were told by the IDNR that we won the grant, or were selected to receive the grant, I should say. But they couldn't disperse funds until the state passed the budget. At this point, I don't think there's any advantage to the village to hold that money waiting for the state to pass the budget because of our fiscal year ending May 1. So instead of holding that money for the grant program, I'd like to spend that money now to remove as many dead parkway trees as we can. And then if the grant funding comes through next year, it'll have to be taken out of next fiscal year's budget. And we'll have to bring that forward at that time.
Adam, I got one question for you. And the one question that I have is that can we make sure that the trees that you remove first, the ones that are in, that keep us in liability, you know, they're about to fall over,
right,
hit somebody's house, or run over, hit a kid or something like that.
And that's one of the reasons why.
Have those done first. That's all I care about.
What we have is kind of two separate issues. We have hazard trees in the village, which we've tried to address through the hazard tree removals that we did last summer.
Mm-hmm.
The parkway trees now, we're talking about removing 320, 330 parkway trees.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are 12 inches or less in diameter.
Mm-hmm.
They're all dead.
Mm-hmm.
So to go through the whole village and try to assess which ones are more of a risk than others,
this is go out there and get those 340 trees and call it a day.
That's what I'm proposing.
Man.
And what I'm proposing to do is to start in the Valley Lake subdivision because from the information that we have, they have the highest concentration of dead trees, percentage-wise, of parkway trees.
Okay.
And we're just going to move down the list. Actually, the Parkview subdivision, Haywood and Wagonwood, has the highest percentage. That was the neighborhood that was submitted for the grant application.
That's exactly, you know who lives over there? I know somebody lives over there.
So we can't, I don't want to say we can't mess with that neighborhood, but I prefer not to go into that neighborhood because it would have to alter our grant application.
I'm going to forego that because of one reason. I have beautiful maple trees in my house. And the emerald ash borer ate up the tree before it, and it's now in front of my house. And it'll be nice and red in the fall. So we'll live through it for another year. I think the people in my subdivision, they got the ones that are still there, they took advantage of get a tree and what have you. So it works. They're happy. They saw some work being done. They'll wait for a little while longer for them to have other trees removed. And we'll live with it.
Are we still allowing residents to come in for a permit to remove their parkway trees, the ability to do so?
Yes, as long as the residents contact us first, they can fill out a permit. There's no cost to the resident.
For all five of my trees?
If you choose to cut all five of them down, we just ask that you come in and fill out a permit.
Every one of them is another.
Is there any? Is there any recycling for those trees? Like, do they turn it into mulch or?
No, they not. Shouldn't.
No, because
of the eggs and stuff that are spent.
It should be after burned.
So that wasn't good for a big bonfire. Yeah. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. I can't do that.
We used to have Char Stewart, who was our forester, mm-hmm. and Char Stewart said, no, you know, mulch, you don't use it, you don't think it, you just spread the eggs.
Okay, so we'll move that forward then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Special event?
Already done.
Okay. No building and zoning. Police. Retail theft ordinance revision. Chief?
President Pro Tem Newby, and the Department of
Thank you.
Roll off the tongue.
First agenda item summary that the police department has presented to you is a suggestion to revise Title 9 of our village ordinance, Section 20, to add subsection 080, which wouldn't tell retail theft. Currently, we have no retail theft items on our village code. So everything that we do for retail theft, either has to fit into the theft category, which doesn't really tell an accurate picture of what's happening. Or we have to take it to the state attorney. And what we're looking for in this is also the things that we have going on. One, with our new record system, we need the code anyway, even if we don't use it. But we have a lot of thefts with elementary age kids and high school kids going over to places like Dollar General and shoplifting almost every day. And we don't have the proper tools to address them. They don't need to be going to the state court. Our village ordinance would be a more suitable place to spend and be able to deal with it appropriately. And it would have some benefits to the village as well as doing that. We have more control over it. The fact is that there's fine money, we can get a little more of it than they can say. So the changes to the ordinance would include the definition for retail theft, and then several different ways that you commit retail theft, whether it's just putting it in your pocket and walking out the store and just stealing it, changing price tags, removing anti-theft devices, having an anti-theft remover, and things like that. That's what that ordinance covers. And then it talks about, it gives the merchant permission to hold on to the person while you call the police and leave for us. And then finally it talks about the penalty and adding it to our ordinance. So we're asking at least that the board agree with that change and move it forward and add it to our ordinance.
Okay. And we agree with that.
Okay.
All for it.
All right. So we'll move forward to the regular meeting of the village board. Title 10, Vehicles and Traffic Ordinance Revision.
This agenda item summary covers the change in Title 10 of our village code in section, and by adding section 7, which would deal with pedestrians. And primarily, this involves jaywalking and doing things that may obstruct sidewalks or traffic with people crossing, not crosswalks, not obeying the police officer, the phone stop, or go, things like that. We currently don't have anything in our ordinance that talks or speaks of jaywalking. And so this is a problem we have at the high school every day.
What would be the fine for the jaywalker?
It'd be like a parking ticket, it'd be $25. They go to court, the judge can set it up to $750.
That's a heck of a lesson.
I won't do it again. I'll tell you what, you do that in San Diego, they'll let you know about it. But they write so many tickets out there, it ain't even fun. You go across the street in the middle of the night in front of the Hard Rock Cafe, walk across the street in front of it. I don't know where they come from. They come out of nowhere. You three cheese to the wind. Oh, yeah. And you don't write your ticket. No, please, officer, don't write your ticket.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll move that forward then?
Yeah.
All right, great. Moving on to administration, corner garage, groundwater use ordinance. Steve.
And in front of you is a groundwater ordinance for corner garage. If you recall, they dug up their tanks a couple of months ago, maybe a little longer than that. An environmental company came out, did a normal soil testing, et cetera. they are required per the EPA to have the village pass a groundwater ordinance, basically stating they can't put a well over there because it's contaminated. For us, that doesn't matter because we use Chattawa. And they have to do this to get no further remediation letter from the IEPA. This is standard. This is, I believe, the fourth one from the board since high school.
We did one for the gas station. We did one for entire. And it was the third one for, yeah.
The only question
I had is right here.
The only question the environmental attorney had for me and subsequently the village board is state law does not require Corner Garage to notify the neighboring property, which is unusual in this case, that that land is also contaminated. And so after the village board, correct me, after the village board approves the groundwater area, go ahead.
Correct. State law also does not require the village board to approve this ordinance. Approving the ordinance helps the owners of Corner Garage. If you want to ask Corner Garage to notify its neighbors before you take a vote at the next meeting, you can ask them to do that.
I'm assuming they can ask the administrator to ask them to do that.
You could direct the lawyer to ask them to do that. Or you could direct the lawyer to advise the neighbor affirmatively without involving Corner Garage. It's completely up to you how you want to do that, if you want to notify the neighbor.
What's the general practice that you would recommend?
I would recommend providing advance notice. Saves the problem of a neighbor only realizing that this ordinance has been passed after the fact. And if they realize it after the fact, they may be displeased and may come to the board with that issue.
For transparency purposes, we do hearings on so many other things to give advance warning to, you know, even larger populace. I don't think it's unfair to these neighbors without notice.
I don't have a problem because there's nothing, I mean, the neighbors are going to know about it.
Right, it's going to happen.
They're not going to put wells in anyways because they're the end, so it's just for informational purposes only.
Are we going to notify them, or are we going to have council order?
Are you comfortable with doing it?
I prefer the
council.
Well, then.
I was about to say the same. I've been on the same page with you. Well, of course, let it come from them. They can handle it, because if anybody got a big mouth and they want to talk about it, they can talk to our attorney.
I do have one more kind of name, not to any big deal, but the other committee we did also have a highway authority agreement, meaning the pool was underneath the roadway, or in this case it is not underneath Washington or Cedar Lake Road, just like you know that. The pool was actually going east, up east, versus
and that piece of property there is abandoned, is it right now, to the east of them?
They are trying to sell that property, and that is why they are waiting for us to possibly pass this ordinance.
I'm talking about the cleaners next. Okay, so we'll move forward and with the attorney notifying the investor. Okay. All right.
Wait, what about the highway agreement? Are we going to do that? Or
no, we don't need one.
No, we don't
need
one.
I'm sorry, I'm asking Steve. Hold on.
Do you not need a highway authority agreement in this case?
Okay, thank you.
Any suggested new topics? Hearing none, no executive session, motion to adjourn. Motion by Trustee Trufant, seconded by Trustee Farr. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned at 7:50 p.m. There you go. There you go.